Jingles. No, I don't know how I offended Tony Screw, but there's no doubt the show can't even handle me right now. Maybe that joke about the fix had some fallout. The show can't even handle me right now. The show can't even handle me right now.
Jerry Negrelli, who started it all in terms of jingles, who is the godfather of jingles on this show with the perfect one-minute version.
Huh. Well, I guess the show can handle me. All right, let's move on to Plan B.
Get in. Then get out. That's what the mailbag's always been about. You can still be funny and smart, but listen when I tell you, here's what you gotta do. Get in, then get out. Get in, and get the hell out.
It's the TK Jingles Podcast for September 22nd, 2016. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. Today, we've got a bunch of new songs from TKJingles.com, a couple from Tony's show, and the assorted grab bag, including the Cesspool Post of the Week, a popular new feature. But before we get started, I wanted to address a little bit of the subtext of last week, as well as what's going on with Tony's show. So they've got a bunch of new email addresses for the Kornheiser show, and I made light of that last week a little bit with some of the new TK Jingles addresses. For instance, Chinese food at TKJingles.com. Todd Takei writes in, spicy beef and broccoli with tempura shrimp and extra white rice. I encourage you all to send me your Chinese food takeout orders, but I warn you, I won't get it to you this week. It'll get there eventually. You know, just place an order, send me your credit card info, and I'll buy you some Chinese food someday. But I did receive a note about last week's show where I, you know, kind of harped on these new email addresses from Steve L. He says, Jerry, you seem ultra bitter about how things shook out with this show stinks. And I don't think there was bitterness as much as there was frustration, just not knowing what was going on. But ironically, today, as I was recording that ridiculous intro there about how the show can't even handle me, you know, I was actually finally had a song on the show this season. And I was able to chat with some folks behind the scenes. And I can't really reveal anything that we talked about due to the perpetual secrecy and the fact that I think Tony wants to say stuff about his show because it's, you know, his show. I would like to reiterate that intro there is very relevant to the new format of the show. Things that I have reiterated on this podcast to those of you that write jingles about keeping it short and sweet are especially important right now, given what hopefully Tony will be able to reveal someday as he talks about, you know, his new format and the music and the jingles and kind of how they're handling all that right now and the reason that they have to have this new email address and yada, yada, yada. I think that if you listen back to that opening jingle from last week, it was pretty apt as to why this is happening. But with some additional insight, I still am a little frustrated with kind of how things are because, you know, it's just the nature of things and things are changing. But it also presents us some great new opportunities to maybe get away from some of the just-in-time stuff and focus more on evergreen jingles that will be persistently funny a year from now. And, you know, periodically some of those like the Big Rock Candy Mountain and some of the other just-in-time ones really are hilarious 2 years later. But, you know, I remember, I've cited this before, I'm sure, but I remember reading some criticism that parodies aren't funny because they aren't funny 6 months later because they're just so topical. And we have fallen into that trap a little bit with the jingles as we all try to outdo each other with, you know, a jingle about Strasburg's third pitch in the fourth inning. But these will continue to evolve. I'm so excited that Nigel and Michael and Gary and everybody on the show, Tony especially, continues to support this community and want to maintain a close relationship and keep these things going. So, I'm just glad to be a steward of that and to be a part of this. And I hope you enjoy this podcast and send me your notes at the real email address, podcast@tkjingles.com, as well as, you know, what you want for Chinese takeout or, you know, if you want to send an email to Tony, tonycornizershow@tkjingles.com. So anyway, let's play some songs. So the number one jingle of the week, Jason Fuse, Undisclosed Location, is going to kick us off here. And then Old at Heart with a song about Samsung phones catching on fire. John Fitzpatrick with a quick turn jingle about Tony's car being broken into and the need for a Faraday cage. And then Elliot and Joe revisiting an old favorite with a 12th chapter.
I ascend 3 flights of stairs, so you know it's not in one of my homes. If I was in Rehoboth, I'd take the elevator. My guests arrive via limo, and then are taken away like Tessio. I can't allow them to unveil this information. Said that us take a guess, you know we're plausibly live. All right here in our undisclosed location. Said come on, email us, I'm taunting you this time. Try to guess our undisclosed location. Never get it, oh, unless a lizard keeps tweeting out pictures.
An undisclosed location, yeah, yeah. Next door house that's vacant.
I get here long before. It's light, yeah. So you'll never guess it.
Is
right. Here's a P.O. box, but no street
that's
address. You know
made.
I want your tribute, just not your crest. Third floor room, 10 and Chevy
Ooh,
Chase. But I ain't got time for your face. Don't miss it. Nah, 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 don't miss it. Cause if you guess it, I won't be present. I'll be gone. Long gone.
I'm driving in my car. I pick up my cell phone. It's kind of feeling hot, like a python on a drone. Was it the lithium, or maybe a faulty wire? 'Cause later that day, oh, it's on fire. Late at night, I'm sitting round home, watching PTI and Wilbon saying tone. I'm not really surprised, Kornheiser's blood pressure's getting higher. But then my damn phone, oh, it starts on fire.
Fire.
Should have bought me an iPhone right from the start. Though this Apple store is full of geeks with no heart, I just wanted something to keep looking like a fool. But my brand new Samsung just can't stay cool.
Thieves a prowling Chevy Chase DC streets. They got a gizmo, talks to cars, goes beep beep. They trashed his caddy, but then they just drove away, 'cause all they found were Rascal's CDs to play. And no one listens to CDs anymore, so he sent Michael to the internet store. He's got that Prime, pays no shipping fees, fighting science with science. Now he keeps his keys in a Faraday cage. Keys in a Faraday cage. You can try with all your might, you'll probably steal his airbags tonight, 'cause he fell for the scam and dropped $30 on a thing called a Faraday cage.
So now you're on the podcast bus. Neil Greenberg is in Dead to Us, and Jason Locke and Forrest come back to ya. Now that you've left the radio, the littles are all dying to know, is this a chance to finally hear from Junior? Bring back Junior, Bill Simmons too, yeah. When you do, sir, hallelujah.
That song is so perfect, and that joke of Junior never gets old. I'm so grateful that we have that. And that's the 12th chapter of the Hallelujah Chorus about John Junior Feinstein. Now I wanted to share a short clip from this past week about a chocolate fountain in Henrico. We'll play a clip, a song rather, from Robert Berg, Brad Weiss, and another one from Jason Fuse, which is so meta and self-aware that I just love the artistic take of this last one.
And I know, Mr. Tony, that when you're there, particularly in the West End, for dining options, you love to go to the Golden Corral, because that's just what you do.
Who doesn't?
Right. The chocolate fountain, ever flowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Well, if you'd been there Monday, right around lunch, there was a bit of a fracas going on. Apparently, one of the dishwashers, who's now a former employee of the Golden Corral, Baha Fayez, was inside washing dishes, doing what he does, and apparently he said he was being bullied by some of the other employees. Mm. So he immediately grabbed a 2.5-foot-long skewer used to roast chicken and began to assault two co-workers and a customer. The customer, we are told...
So it's a shish kebab in the making story.
Yes, okay. Exactly. The customer tackled Fayez until police arrived.
What was the customer doing in the kitchen?
Exactly.
I think he was just sort of by the kitchen, okay, and it spilled out.
Okay.
Customers in the
actual
dining area.
So this has nothing to do with the chocolate fountain or the prime rib that they talk about?
No, the endless prime
the
rib.
The endless prime rib for $11.99.
No. Stephanie Morton, who was there with her husband and child, enjoying a wonderful lunch at the Golden Corral, said she had...
Oh, the lunch buffet is probably cheaper than a dinner buffet.
It's about $1.99.
No. Can't be $1.99.
I heard people yelling and two guys come flying out of the back area, literally in a fist fight brawl. A customer jumped in and tried to stop the fight. Before that, she had pots and pans falling in the kitchen. So this is, and by the way, the great thing is the Golden Corral had to send out a statement afterwards and says, the restaurant is open for business.
Okay.
If you go to Henrico, you should try the chocolate fountain at the Golden Corral. Just avoid the kitchen. You might come across a couple guys with shish kebabs rope-a-doping. And after everything is broken, they'll clean up all the blood. And they'll stay open.
When your waistband's cropped and it's tight, and the tag inside you've sewn, when you're sure you've had enough of this pie, meringue on. Don't let your reflux slow. bite. 'Cause everybody burps.
Excuse me.
Sometimes.
A Kipshin is dead, and that's what they've said. There's a man with no plan when he hit the floor, just no hope for this dope, never heard the show. I'm sure we'll never know how we ever got on radio. I'm sure Little's agree, his reports of misery were a riotous thing. But Sheenan's dead, or so they've said. Local weather confused him, just not fit as a newsman. A cruise ship bound for death was always good for a laugh. Though his kids had to go, will they still shovel snow? Sheenan's underarmors aren't too tight, but now we're pitching for me and he's right, because Kip Sheenan's dead. They made their jump to a podcast, but who can give us a fear cast? Though they say the show's still the same, his demise is a shame. Now what was his name? It's left unsaid, a Kushiman's day.
Press record. All right. Now I'm gonna sing. So now I'm gonna sing a song. It's a live jingle, a real important one, but I've got no experience to draw upon. I'd regale you with some lyrics about a wonderful story. Without first-hand history, it would go rather poorly. And now KJ can take over and sing something funny.
Wait a minute, is this how podcasters make all their money?
It's the chorus. Now I'm singing about doing live reads. I sing the words and the hook from your Google machine. If I keep singing, will I get funded by underwear, razors, and seeds? Build the chorus. Do they pay for jingles about live reads? I'm singing a jingle about live reads. I'm repeating these words again 'cause they're important. I'm singing a jingle about live reads. I'm playing the same chords over and over. I bet you didn't notice unless you were paying attention.
Hoo-hoo, that's falsetto.
Singing a jingle about live reads. Fade out. Press stop.
Jason Fuse, Robert Berg, Brad Weiss, and myself in that last segment there with some more great songs from tkjingles.com. I wanted to share an email from Gabby. She says, you asked for feedback and I have nothing but positive things to say. I particularly love the Schwitz breaks and hope you'll have another radio show like Murder at the Schwitz. I want to thank everyone, you, KJ, Joe, John. Oh, Schwitz break.
I've never eaten here before, but I know that I'll be leaving here quite sore. A warehouse in a sketchy part of town, though I hear they've got the best steam steak in town. Was this wise? I hear myself wonder. So many men I can meet their wandering eyes. Look away, focus on my hunger. Move on. The air so thick I really can't breathe. I'm choking on all the cigar steam. And the scenery's explicit. This is what the Schwitz is. And now I'm tripping over towels and eating meatballs in the shower. Think what you've been missing. This is what the Schwitz is.
Oh man, the Schwitz break comes at the most inopportune time sometimes. Gabby, sorry to interrupt your email. Just to continue that thought, I want to thank everyone also, including the incomparable Robert Berg, Luke, Brad, Steve, Patrick, and Sean for your incredible talent and dedication. I apologize if I left anyone out, but you were all wonderful. On Labor Day, Gabby was at the U.S. Consulate in Erbil, and they had a game of bocce ball, and she thought of John Fitzpatrick's epic jingle immediately. And it's so cool how that still happens to this day, where you're in a situation and one of these silly jingles comes up and you start humming it yourself with the wrong words. Share your thoughts in the same vein, podcast@dkjingles.com. Love getting these notes. Okay, now I'm going to do a read.
Blah, 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 listen. This is a transition.
Hey friends, I want to tell you about our new sponsor, Orange Apron, a fashionable new brand of snackware designed specifically for the busy people in your life who eat all their meals while standing over their kitchen sink. Now, I eat my meals at the same table where I record this podcast, so I've never actually worn an Orange Apron or used this product. Liam, you ever tried this?
Crikey no, Mr. Jerry. I get all my meals from vending machines.
Okay. You know, Liam, I've never been able to place that accent. Where are you from?
You know, Governor. Ian, eh?
Huh. Okay. You know, Liam, we really should put a little bit more work into these ad reads. It almost gives the impression that I've never used this product and don't actually know what it is. Anyway, back to the show. Yes, unless I write a song about Hannah or I learn Tony's in NAMBLA, I'm going to keep this thing up for a long time. You know, Hannah Storm is one of the third rail topics of the Tony Kornheiser Show and TK Jingles. I don't know how often, if ever, she's been mentioned in any of those songs, because back in 2010, Tony made a comment about an outfit she was wearing on ESPN and was suspended for 2 weeks. And I remember being incensed by that, and I wrote a letter to ESPN, an electronic letter via their web form, pretty straightforward and easy to do, but it's something I never do. But I was very angry that he was suspended for 2 weeks over what I thought was a pretty typical comment from his show. It was like they'd never listened before, and somebody just brought it to their attention. It's like, oh yeah, I guess we should punish him for this. Anyway, I was surprised when, within a few hours, I got a response back from ESPN that said, Tony has acknowledged that his comments were out of line. He apologized to Hannah one-on-one and on air on his radio show, and he understands and accepts the consequences. And just the nature of that writing, like, on the one hand, I was glad that they brought me back, but the whole, like, accepting the consequences, and it was out of line, and he accepts this, he understands this, it just sounded like it was written by a lawyer or something, or the PR department. It just really bugged me. Anyway, let's just do a song about Hannah.
I drove up to Rockville, it was February 2010. I got to the studio and turned on ESPN. I said, is this really SportsCenter, or are my eyes deceiving me? Hannah Storm's in go-go boots, like some Holden Caulfield fantasy. Oh, put some clothes on, Hannah, 'cause you're on TV. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Damn,
I hope they don't fire me.
Please don't fire me. I remember the fallout from that was such a big deal. Those comments that Tony made, and I'm glad that he was able to apologize and work through it, and that Hannah was okay with it, I guess, ultimately in the end. But man, it was such a touchy situation. And I remember a few weeks later, once he came back, he made some silly comment about, like, if you see some annoying biker on the road, drive him off the road. And obviously, like, the social justice warriors were listening, because he then immediately got into trouble for saying he wanted to kill bikers or something, and he had to get Lance Armstrong on the show to apologize to Lance Armstrong as the ambassador of biking. It was such a preposterous conversation, and Lance was just so smug about it in accepting the apology. It was ridiculous. Anyway, that it reminds me that I've been listening to this show for a long time. But 2010, I feel like I've been listening for 2 or 3 years, like shortly before I started doing the jingles, but it goes way back. I don't know when the heck I started now at this point. Time has just flown by. So that was a little silly segment there on that incident from 6 years ago, because that's what this podcast is. Now let's focus on the here and now with our cesspool post of the week.
It's a cesspool.
All right, a shiny new donkey to whoever can identify that tune in the background there. Now, this website stinks, which is the unofficial forum and message board of the Tony Kornheiser Show that Bill DeHecka set up. It's a great place to go and talk about the show. But I have offhandedly commented that it is a cesspool, so that's kind of gained some steam here. And anyway, because there's some negative comments on there, and the king of the recent negativity is someone named Blair H. And Blair would be featured in this segment every week if we were only featuring the cess. But I want it to be, you know, more than just the cess. Anyway, so this week, Blair shared 8 or 9 thoughts about the new show, and 6 or 7 of them were negative, including some gems such as the jingles, terrible as always. So anyway, the good thing is, in response to that, the bopper had a comment that I'm going to include here verbatim because I was scolded the last week I did not properly quote the previous cesspool comment, even though if you go back and look, I mean, it's the exact same damn thing. But anyway, that aside, here is the quote from the bopper. I hope I'm not being too critical, but I think this show could be a huge success. It already is to some degree. But I don't know that they will retain subscribers just by sticking to the same old tired radio format, the format that is more and more being rejected by many in favor of the open source nature of podcasting. Write your own rules. Don't use an old set because that's what you know. You are literally playing with house money. Make it great. And so I thought that comment there by the bopper was wonderful because in some ways it's constructive criticism, but it offers ideas and suggestions and is helpful and starting a discussion about what Tony's show could be. And I've tried to have some of these same conversations myself with folks behind the scenes and you know, on social media and stuff, because Tony is so great. The group he has, they're so good. There's so much potential. And I really do hope that it continues to evolve into something new and even better than what we all know and love. The ad reads and the way they're doing that have gotten better just in the past week, and they've learned how to kind of break those up. The music is still a challenge. I hope they can work through that at some point. But, you know, podcasts like this frickin' podcast, you can have a 20-minute Jinglies Awards at the beginning, and it can still be a great show. It doesn't have to follow the same rote format every time. So I hope that they can push the envelope and leverage all the talent that they have and use it to its maximum effect. That's it for the Cesspool Post of the Week.
It's a cesspool.
All right, one of the great traditions of September and October on Tony's show, and even into November, December, is the NFL season and all the songs about sports that make their way into the show. So I wanted to share a couple of new songs here. The first one by Bill Bardo and John Fitzpatrick. I had in my backlog to do, based on Bill's great lyrics, if I had time this week, and John came in and added a second verse, and it's awesome. If You Could Read a Defense. And then Joe Arrow with The Orchids Made of Glass, which is great. And then Steve Lipton playing up on the Redskins thing with Throw the Fade.
If Kirk could read a defense, Skins might actually win a game. Not like a Rodgers or Brady, Redskins quarterbacks are lame. The fourth quarter starts, interceptions come, they can't score a TD. As for Kirk, well, let's get real. And you won't watch a game again because the ending's just too hard to take. As you watch game film, Jay, what a tale your thoughts could tell. I'll bet you need a strong drink, the kind that the liquor stores sell. When you reach the part where the heartache comes, that crying, hey, that's me. Your play calls often fail, I hope you won't call that fade again, because that catch is just too hard for the rookie to make.
Well, Steven was fine in the first half. He was rolling, missing bats, Cy Young stats. We waited so long, he was strong. That's what we thought. Sunny skies, 75. Don't know that he will make it back for October, but this we all know, if he don't show, it's all over. He's got a strange flex of mass. Orchids made of glass. The orchids made of glass.
I wonder what someone like Joe Gibbs would think about not taking a shot at a run way down in the red zone.
Well, it seems Gruden's made up his mind. It's been such a long, long time since the ground game's been good to us, and that somehow the offensive line came off their blocks, then they lost their thrust. Josh Johnson, he does have some height, but maybe call a bootleg next time. I'm saying, why'd you have to throw the fade? Oh, why'd you have to throw the fade? Tell me what it takes to call a running play. Oh, 'cause Gruden's falling in love with the fade. Oh, why'd you have to throw the fade? Oh, why'd you have to throw the fade? Tell me what it takes to call a running play. Oh, 'cause Gruden's falling in love with the fade.
That's it for this week's episode of the TK Jingles podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Send me your feedback, podcast at tkjingles.com to join the conversation. Find it on the Facebook or the Twitter. I love hearing from you guys. I hope you enjoy all this and appreciate the work that goes into it and all the stupid songs and great talent that I'm able to share with you, and so little of it is me at this point, which is great. It takes a lot of burden off me, to be honest. I think when I started this podcast 2.5 years ago, and periodically when I do some self-centric, self-indulgent show, there'll be a little bit of me, but it really is about, at this point, the community and all the wonderfully talented people that contribute to this. So keep it up. I hope that we're able to hear from Tony and Nigel and Michael on exactly what's going on with everything on their show. As it relates to the music and jingles, Tony keeps teasing that will be revealed in time, so I hope it is. And we will still be here at tkjingles.com. So go there, leave a comment for any of the songs you've heard today. I think a lot of people have substituted this podcast for going to the website, because I've noticed a huge traffic spike for this show and a decrease in the other one. But it is really nice to get some feedback. So if there was a song today that really stood out to you that you enjoyed, go leave a comment right now. And I'm sure they would appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here next week with more prodding.
No, I don't know how I offended Tony Screw, but there's no doubt the show can't even handle me right now. Maybe that joke about the fix, that's a fallout. The show can't even handle me right now. The show can't even handle me right now.
Little known fact, it was the success of Jerry's TK Jingles podcast that prompted this whole thing,
yes,
for Tony.